Earlier today, Barack Obama took the oath of office as President of the United States. Many of us recall 4 years ago, that magical winter day, when he stood in front of the Capitol and swore to do his best to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States, and so became our first African-American president. I recently recalled a fall evening almost 30 years ago, 1984, an election year. One of the major political parties, I forget which one, sponsored a nationally televised event that featured the usual speechmaking and political posturing. The climax of the program was a Civil War medley made up of Dixie, the Battle Hymn of the Republic, and All My Sorrows, Lord, Soon Be Over, sung by country western artist Dottie West. The cobbling together of the Anthem of the Confederacy, Julie Ward Howe's triumphant hymn, and the classic spiritual suggested that the lines that had divided our country for so long, North, South, Black, White, were finally being overcome, if not in America, then in that political party. My tears, unpremeditated, uncontrolled, said otherwise.
Well, I wish I was in the land of cotton wool, town there I'm not forgot to look away, look away, look away, Dixieland.
The oil industry had long since displaced cotton as king in North Louisiana when I was a boy. But the old cotton festival, Holiday in Dixie, was still the cultural event of the year. All around my hometown, the symbols of the old South remained. The statues at the courthouse, the Confederate Memorial Hospital, the Dixie Drill Platoon of Fair Park High School, my school, in their starched gray Confederate uniforms. The system of laws and customs that divided our community into parallel worlds was so successful in keeping blacks and whites apart that from the time I was born until I went to college, I knew only one African American, Annie Jones, who helped rear my dad when he was a boy. A black family lived across the road from us, but my parents wouldn't let me play with their children. The racism that permeated my world wasn't violent or mean. It was condescending and patronizing. We knew how things were supposed to be. It was all divinely ordained, we were told. Then, when I was in high school, the structure of my world came crashing down, shattered into a million pieces by a single picture on the front page of the Shreveport Times. It showed a young girl being escorted to school in some southern city, and a white woman spitting on her. The woman could have been my Sunday school teacher, or the mother of one of my friends. But the expression on her face was sheer hatred, and it was directed at a 10-year-old girl. All the talk about states' rights, the storied way of life, the romanticized tales about the war, and this is what it came down to, a grown woman spitting on a child. It was shameful. It was humiliating. Worst of all, it was undeniable. Like the statue of Ozymandias, the old idol crumbled. And there it lay for 25 years, until Dottie West appeared on the TV screen sentimentalizing, "In Dixieland, I'll take my stand to live and die in Dixie." Without warning, childhood memories came flooding back. Annie Jones, the ugly woman on the front page, the playmates I never knew, the pride and the shame. Tears of grief surprised my eyes, and I wept for an unredeemed past. Old times there are not forgotten. That's the issue, isn't it? Forgetting. We must not forget who we were and what we did in the name of whatever God we thought we were serving. On the other hand, sometimes I think that our country will be better off when my generation has made its contribution and passed from the scene, and a fresh one has come along. One without long memories and old scars. Maybe then we can inaugurate a president without noting the color of his or her skin and pointing out that she or he is the first of his or her kind to lead our country. Let it be, dear Lord. Let it be.
Let it be. Let it be.